أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Again, it's the same topic on the etiquettes of salat, of prayer. One of the other etiquettes is that we invite the heart to prayer. We invite the heart to huzur, to be present throughout the prayer. Now, how is that possible? There is a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says that اَعْبُدِ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهِ فَإِنَّكَ إِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That is, when you worship Allah, worship as such that He is seeing you. And if He and if you don't see Him whilst you are worshipping Him, then definitely know that indeed He is watching you. So we have to have that understanding that we are standing before Allah and He is watching me in my prayers. And if I don't have that understanding, then at least this understanding, that if I don't see Him, He is definitely seeing me. So two types of presence are understood with this one beautiful phrase for the heart. One, standing in prayers, is drowned in the beauty of the beloved existence of Allah, such that all of the outlets of the hearts, they get disconnected from everything, totally detached, and he gets connected to the existence of Allah. So it's a tough task, and by practice it is possible. So one stage is that everything, every outlet of this heart is disconnected from this world, and he gets connected to Allah and doesn't see anyone else but Allah. The second stage is that he disconnects from everything else. He sees Allah and he sees himself as well. So that is a lower stage, when he feels his presence and the presence of God. The higher presence, the higher stage is that he feels and finds himself only in the presence of Allah. Now, to understand what this hadith of Rasulullah means, let's bring it down in easier words. Abu Hamza Thimali, he reports that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam once he was offering his prayers, and amidst his prayers, his abba, it fell from his shoulders. And then Abu Hamza, when Imam completed his prayers, comes and says to the Imam, "Imam, why didn't you fix your abba?" And Imam, he shuns him, says, "Woe be unto you. Do you know in whose presence I was standing? In whose presence I was?" So in the presence of someone who is so great, all these things you don't pay attention to. That is, we don't have to play with our fingers, we don't have to play with our moods and manners, we don't have to, in all these things, even this abba which had fallen down, Imam did not fix it. He was so much drowned in that worship, in that prayer. Now, how is it possible that a person, he arrives at a rank, now this is ma'asum, we may say that no one else can do it. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was shot, an arrow was shot, and when the physician, he wanted to remove that arrow, it was very painful. He comes and says to Rasulullah, "What do I do? It's very painful and the arrow has hit his leg. What do I do?" The Prophet says that, "Wait, let Ali start his prayers. When he is occupied in prayers, you can go and remove that arrow." Because once he is in prayers, everything is a disconnect from around himself. So he doesn't feel, he won't feel anything, any pain, what's happening with him. So again, one may say that is ma'asum. Let's come even further down. Among the ulama of our time who passed away in the late 80s, it's marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Ahmad Khonsari, one of the Maraji'i Taqleed who lived in Tehran and is buried in the shrine of Hazrat Ma'asuma in Qum. A very noble person, lived for 98 years. He started his prayers when he was 5 years of age. And then it wasn't as such that he just performed one set of prayers. That is, he prayed for Allah for 93 years. And then he offered a set of prayers which was wajib. And then as a precaution, he had another set of prayers. And as a further precaution, another set of prayers. That is, 93 years multiplied by 3 are the prayers which he offered. And when he was asked, why do you do that? He says that if on the day of judgment, Allah sees my prayers and he doesn't like them, I'll say that I've got another set. You might like that one. If that also, if he did not accept, I'll give him the third one. And if that also was denied, I will tell him that I did not have the ability to do more than that. Now this great person, when it is the time of his wafat, that is dying, he is ill. And it so happens that people, they come to visit him, to see him. And one day, his wife, they say that. And whenever anyone came, they knocked the door, we opened the door, we showed him where he was, and they saw him. She says that one day, I saw him talking to someone. And we were amazed that we didn't open the door, no one knocked the door. How come? We just waited for him to stop that talk which he has. When we were certain that the guest has gone away, we'd go and ask him. And after that talk, when they were certain that there's no one in the room, they go and ask him, who was it? No one knocked the door. We did not open the door. You couldn't open the door yourself. Who was he? And then he says, it was Malakul Maut. He didn't come to take my soul. He just came to visit me because I'm ill. And he said that a week from now, I'll come again to take you. So that noble person. During those days, the fatwa of the ulama was they did not allow the usage of anesthesia when a person was to be operated. They had an ihtiyat. Some said it is haram, forbidden to use that anesthetic when a person is to be operated. And he was ill and he needed to be operated. And his fatwa is that it cannot be done. The doctor says he has to be cured. He says, okay, but without anesthetic. He says, you can't bear the pain. He says, you try it and you do your job, I'll do my job. They take him to the hospital and they do the operation on him without anesthetic, and they were amazed to find that how come he could bear this pain. Now, a little pain, if it spoke to someone, there's so much of pain, but how come he could bear the pain? So someone who is a reflection of Ma'asumeen, now he compared to Ma'asumeen, it's a no comparison at all. But that is possible, that a person comes to a rank, arrives to a rank, that he is totally disconnected from everything and never feels what's going on around him. So these are the humble servants of Ma'asumeen and of that high caliber. So the Prophet says that when we stand in prayers, we should know who we are standing before, and that Allah is on the watch out. And if we don't see him in the prayers, then indeed know that he is watching you. When Marhum Allama Tabatabai was returning from Najaf after completing his studies, goes to his ustad and says that, I am done with my studies, I'm returning to Qum. Any reminder that I can have from you that could be with me until the last moment of my life? Marhum Qazi is the ustad and he says that, okay, have this ayah, Nasbul Ayn, that is with you at all times, that wa'alam bi anna Allah yara, that know that Allah is watching you. If you have that ayah with you at all times, that Allah is watching you, then a person will definitely try and become a better person. Every step of his, he will see whether or not it is right, it is wrong, whether Allah is pleased or not. When I want to say something with this word which is going to be uttered from me, whether he is pleased or not, etc. So, wa'alam bi'anna Allah yara, that Allah is on the watch out. Another hadith from the Holy Prophet, he says that from my nation, two men, they stand in prayers. The prayers of both of them are exactly the same. That is, the shell of the prayers, the bowing, the sajda, the ruku, etc. And then he says that in reality, the difference in the two prayers of those two persons who are offering is so vast that the difference is as huge as the distance between the sky and the earth. There is such a big of difference. And elsewhere says that someone who offers his prayers and that heart of his is wandering around and that presence doesn't exist in that prayer, does he not fear that Allah could change his face into a donkey's? That is, it's so bad that we stand in prayer before Allah without having the least attention, without having the least manners, that in whose presence we are standing, that a person deserves to be changed into a donkey's. Now when we go to some honorable person, now we always do that. We try to look good, wear good, smell good, and then in his presence try to sit good so that we don't do something which he is offended with. So for these little etiquettes, we observe so much. Now, standing in the presence of someone who is the Lord of all the creation, how much do we observe? Now, all this a lesson to myself first. Elsewhere says that with just a 2-rakat prayer, that is, if we do those 2-rakat prayers with the right mood and manner, all of the sins of an individual will be forgiven, just for 1 2-rakat prayers. And whatsoever a person wants will be given to him only for those 2 raka'at which he has done in the right way. Some prayers, they are accepted from us. Some prayers, a fraction of it is accepted from us. Which fraction? Only that fraction where this heart was present. Out of a prayer, for example, which lasted for 6 minutes, or if you measure it in weight, if, for example, it was a 600 grams of prayer, if in that 600 grams, only a 50 grams of presence of heart was present, says that all the rest of the 550 will be thrown away. Riwayat, some of them say that it's going to be like this kitchen towel which you use to clean, and then you squeeze it and throw it away. That prayer will be thrown away onto our faces if it is not in the right mood and manner. So there are things that we ought to do to observe the presence of our heart in our prayer. That is a disease which every one of us is afflicted with, and we have to try. It is possible. Sometimes it takes 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years. Based upon the ability of an individual, it is possible that we try and do something, that these prayers that we offer, which are so much faulty, are corrected. But it's a gradual achievement. Ultimately, a person who is striving gets to it. How do we achieve it? First of all, we have to know that this prayer is not a burden. Many a times that idea may come to our minds that, we have to go and say our prayers. That, that's bad. Prayer is not a burden. It's a creation, it's a connection of love, of bond with Allah. First, that love for that prayer has to sit in our heart, has to exist in our hearts. Then when it's time for prayer, then may you be in school, may you be in college, may you be at work, automatically you'll find that an outlet has been created for you and you come and say your prayers. That is the benefit of it. So that love for prayer has to exist in us. We should feel that it's not a burden, but it's all love. One of the other things is that we love the world because we see the effects of what happens. We work, we get the benefits, so we love it. The same thing is with spirituality. If we work hard and we do it right, then automatically you'll see the effect and that love also will be created. So that is by practice again. The reason for this delay is that that message of Allah, it hasn't touched our heart. Again, says that one of the reasons why we don't find this heart present in our prayers is that a lot of love for this dunya we have. Too much of attachment for dunya we have. Now when we say dunya, it doesn't mean only this world. World is good. Allah's creation, it's beautiful. And in this world, you've got all these beautiful places of worship, shrines, haram, etc., mosques, all these are good. So when it is said that you hate dunya, you be away from dunya, then dunya has got all these sites, what do we do? Does it mean that we have to just set aside everything and go and seek refuge in a mountain? No. We have to live in this dunya. And when it is said that رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the source of every khati'a, every wrong is love for this world, it's those attachments that we have. Those ranks that a person wants to get to, that who gets which rank, who is, should be higher, who should be lower. All these love and desires that we have for this world, those have to be set aside. Otherwise, living in this dunya is good. This dunya, it's a tool, it's a stepping stone that Allah has created so that we ascend and get to higher and higher stages. So with that idea in mind that this dunya, it's good, that what is hated, it's all these attachments that we get into it so deep that we are deprived from what our original aim is. The aim is God. From Him we have come, to Him we will return. That inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un. It shouldn't be as such that we say that only when someone dies. No, that inna lillahi is at all times that we are from Him and to Him we will return. Again, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that وَمَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ فِيهِ وَمَعَهِ. That when it comes to worship, he says that I see Allah with everything, and I see Allah before everything, and I see Allah at all times. That is, no matter what he is doing, may that be a war, may that be a battle, may that be a worship, may that be a service, may that be irrigating, working in the fields, he sees Allah at all times. So that sight of Allah has to be there. So what do we do? This love and attachment to this dunya is put away. I'll just read a hadith from our sixth imam. He beautifully defines what dunya means. It says that ad-dunya bimanzilati suratin. Dunya, it's like a face. Ra'suha al-kibr. The head of this dunya, it's pride, it's kibr. Wa'inuha al-hirs. Eyes of this dunya are greed. Wa'udhunuha al-tama'. Ears of dunya, again, are this greed. Wa'lisanuha al-riya. The tongue of this dunya, it's to show, it's riya. Wa'yaduha al-shahwa. The hands of this dunya, it's all lust, shahwa. وَرِجْلُهَا الْعُجْبُ. Feet, legs of this dunya, again, that is, that pride, pride more than kibr. وَقَلْبُهَا الْغَفْلَ. The heart of this dunya, it's ghaflat and being unaware. وَكَوْنُهَا الْفَنَى. And if you look into this entire dunya, all of it, its existence, it's fana. It will come to an end. It's not baqa. Baqa, it's the hereafter. Baqa, it's Allah. Baqi, it's Allah. So anyone who gets connected to Allah remains. Anyone who gets connected to dunya finishes, perishes, does not exist. وَحَاسِلُهَا الزَّوَالِ. And whosoever sticks to this dunya, ultimately he will fall, he will collapse. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهَا أَوْرَثَهُ الْكِبْرِ. And then Imam says, someone who loves this dunya, what he will inherit? It's kibr, it's pride. وَمَنْ إِسْتَحْسَنَهَا أَوْرَثَهُ الْحِرْسِ. And someone who likes it, again, what he will inherit? It's greed. وَمَنْ طَلَبَهَا أَوْرَدَتْهُ إِلَى التَّمَعَ. Someone who is after this dunya, again, he will end up in greed. وَمَنْ مَدَحَهَا أَلْبَسَتْهُ الرِّيَاءُ. Whosoever talks loud about this dunya, that is due to that excessive love that he has, his imam says that he will be dressed in the dress of riya, that is show off, showing off. وَمَنْ أَرَادَهَا مَكَّنَتْهُ مِنَ الْعُجْبِ وَمَنْ اِتْمَأَنَّ إِلَيْهَا أَوْلَتْهُ الْغَفْلَ, so on and so forth. So again, at the end he says that وَمَنْ جَمَعَهَا وَبَخِلَ بِهَا, whosoever gets into this dunya and collects it, gathers whatever is there in it, رَدَّتْهُ إِلَى مُسْتَقَرِّهَا وَهِيَ النَّارِ, he will be thrown away to his end, and that is the fire. So this dunya, it's nothing, no place where a person can attach himself. It's not worth at all. If there are attachments, if we like our family, wife, children, if friends, etc., again, it should be as such that we see them with the sight of God, that we serve them because Allah has said, asked us to serve. So in everything, in all these likes and dislikes that we have, that is relating to this dunya, we have to give it a spiritual look, a spiritual blow of tawheed in it, that if I live here, it's because Allah wants me, I want to get to Allah. If I love my parents, again, that is because He has asked me to serve them, that relationship He has created. Again, the same thing with children, the same thing with schools. If He has asked me to study, I'm studying so that I could serve, I could become a better person. So on and so forth. So with those pure intentions, we can create, we can still live in this dunya, live there, like it, but that like and dislike would be based on the likes and dislikes that Allah has asked us to. Inshallah, I'll continue this tomorrow, and that is taharat of the soul, that how do we purify the soul? Again, that is quite interesting. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us understand these great sayings of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, and this gem that he has given to us, which is prayers. May Allah give us the tawfiq that we understand it, we protect it, and that be an asset for us for our hereafter, inshallah. Wa subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. If you have any questions, I'm at your service. Bismillah.
So can you suggest, I may have missed it maybe in one of your previous speeches, but is there any way you can increase your concentration?
Yes, there are many ways. Now, I wanted to mention this tomorrow. One of the things, it is taharat, that a person has to be clean and has to be in taharat at all times. Things that increase concentration are all those things that we have that have been mentioned in Tawziul Masail. That when you want to stand for prayers, the clothing which you wear, it should be decent. It shouldn't be so tight that you are just after excuses to get rid of the prayer. It should be loose, decent clothes, white, clean, wearing perfume. A person should have brushed his teeth, for example. Or it starts way before. The teaching, it starts when a person is performing his wuzu. When he does his wuzu, what he says, the first thing when he says, when he sees water, said, Allahumma, that Allah, I thank you that who has created this water which is pure, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ نَجِسًا, and he hasn't made this water najis. So from there the whole thing, the spirit starts to blow, that he has created this water, that Allah has created it, he has created it tahir, and he hasn't made it najis, and this water is going to purify me, which is created by Allah. And again, when you have that water, when you wash your mouth, you have the dua, when you clean your nose, you have the dua. And again, when it comes to standing for prayers, it should be as such that the place where you are standing, it's a place where distraction is to the least. There is no noise, there is no distraction, nice, clean, cool place where you can offer your prayers. And there are many other etiquettes that could be, that should be, that if he is desperate and he needs to go to the toilet, again, If that time of prayer is passing, it's better for him to say to go to the toilet and then start his prayers. Although the time is going to go, doesn't matter. Again, it's makruh for someone when he is desperate to come to prayers. So get himself relieved from everything and then come to the prayers, so that that concentration is there totally. Otherwise, if you have all those different things that are going to bug you throughout your prayers, then a faulty prayer will be performed.
Just related to this question too, but you are mentioning that one of the things that we can do is let the heart speak and then you speak after it. Your tongue needs to speak after your heart. And that's one of the sources that makes that concentration in
yes.
the prayer. Now, my question is, what do you do when you are in Jama'at? You make the heart speak along with the speech, you know, whatever
is reading. In Jama'at prayers, one of the beauties of Jama'at prayers is that because you are not going to do the recitation, it's the imam who will do it, then your heart just follows what he's saying. That is one. And the second beauty of Jama'at prayers is that that if the prayer of the imam is faulty, or if the prayers of the ma'mumin are faulty, one of the prayers definitely are faulty, says that because of that Jama'at, Allah says, I'll just make it up and I'll just accept it as a prayer which is qabool. So all the shortcomings that are there in the prayers, they are made up because of this Jama'at. So when we say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, we worship you and we seek assistance from you. So because of that Yadullahi ma'al Jama'at, that Allah's hand is with a congregation, is with a Jama'at. Allah's mercy descends when there is a congregation. Allah's wrath is taken away when the Jama'at is united. Allah's mercy is there when there is some one person in that congregation. And if there is an amazing riwayat that says that if, for example, in a city as big as Dallas with a population of 10 million people, if one of the heart breaks sincerely in this city in a congregation, and if he has a dua of the entire town will be accepted because of that congregation, because of that one person. So for a congregation, for a Jama'at, the rules are different, so that it's easily made up. And you also must have felt it, that in some prayers, in some Jama'at, you find that there is a connection, that there is a spiritual connection, sometimes in du'as, sometimes in prayers, and that is, a person feels it, that the prayer was done in a good way. And sometimes you feel that after your wuzu, that you've done a simple wuzu, but you feel that you have ascended, you feel elevated. All that is the result of, all these are preparations that a person can feel himself. Yeah,
Ismail. The issue of detachment from the material world, or as you know, there's a hadith called La Rubbaniya fil Islam. Could you contrast that? Because there are youths.
Yeah. Well, Rubbaniya, it's exactly what it was mentioned, that we can't just put away everything and seek refuge in mountains, or put everything aside and go and sit in the mosque or a church. That is not allowed in Islam. Ruhbaniya is that. When we talk about detachment from dunya, it's the detachment of the heart. That a heart, it should not have too much of bond and love to these worldly things. That is, for example, to understand it in simple words, Prophet Ya'qub, upon him, Prophet Ayyub, he was one of the wealthy people of that time, one of the rulers of that time. And again, to him, a lot was given by Allah. To him, so many sons were given, 12 sons were given. He had huge, big fields and thousands of people working for him in his fields. One after the other, all of these things were taken away. After all, it's dunya that was there, that was given to him. It was taken away from him, and he just thanked. And he had 12 lovely sons. All of them were in a room, the roof collapsed, all of them died. Again, he just says, Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So we don't want to say that he was so hard-hearted. No. The attachment to Allah was so strong, or the same thing can be seen on the day of Ashura, that one after the other, everything was perishing, but Imam's connection with Allah, it never lessened. It was to the max. Although children are in this world, given from Allah, by Allah, and if they are going back to Allah, there's nothing to worry. If a person arrives to a high rank, he doesn't see anything wrong in that. That's why he thanks. That's why he says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Our marhum Imam, when he gets the message of the shahadat of his son, Shaheed Mustafa, he comes a few steps in that janaza and just says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A few times, that's it. No crying, no weeping, no shedding tears. So that is those high levels they have reached to. For them, it doesn't make any difference. Now, ruhbaniyah, this is not ruhbaniyah. Ruhbaniyah, it's to leave aside everything, abandon the whole world, and go and sit, have no relationship with anyone in the community. Islam says that ruhbaniyah, it's not allowed. You have to live in the community. You have to live with the people. You have to do your day-to-day tasks. At the same time, you have to detach your heart from dunya. That is, that love to this dunya must not exist. Yeah? Anything else? So it's all there. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة للسلام.